every team, every championship team has at least two of these games a year, at least two of the games a year where it's tough and you battle. This is a game we talked about as well. Like we would have lost last year.
You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
Hello, everyone, and we'd like to welcome back all of our friends, our family, and our foes to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. I am Todd Fox, and I've got my two oldest sons, Kellen and Garrett, along with us for our 99th episode. Can you believe it's already 99 episodes? One more, and that's 100. So that's what homeschooling gets you. You can count. So tell me, who do you think of that wore the jersey number 99?
You can go ahead and go, Gary, because I got a whole nice little list.
Ah, it's tough, but it's one of the better numbers, honestly, out of any number in sports. But I would have to go with Aaron Donald. By far the best defensive player of our generation, my generation, and probably in the last 20, 30 years. So he's I mean, there's not much you can say about him other than he's just one of the best of all time. He'll for sure be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he won't be around too much longer, but he's still dominating. So,
who do you got, dog?
I'll go Aaron Judge, of the few current baseball players I still know, and he's exciting to watch. One of the best, especially last year. It seems like he was just on a tear, but
yeah,
like Gary said, there's actually a few best number we've had in a while for sure.
Yeah, he won the MVP last year, so he is definitely a great one. I mean, there's a lot of different ones. I mean, you got Wayne Gretzky at 99, you got Jason Taylor, Warren Sapp, J.J. Watt, who obviously that would be your mom's favorite, but I think Jerome Brown played for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's the guy who played at the University of Miami and broke Troy Aikman's leg while Troy was at Oklahoma. And then that's what, you know, transpired him to go to UCLA, Jamal Holloway to come in to help OU win the national championship in 1985. Jerome was killed in a car wreck, many years ago. Obviously, it was during his playing days, and that I think he probably would have been a Hall of Famer. He was really, really good. He was with Golic, Mike Golic, and then Clyde Simmons and Reggie White all on the defensive line. I mean, that was a really, really good team. So, but that's honestly, that's who I think of, because that's who the 99 was back whenever I was a youngster. So, but yeah, next week's our episode 100. I know I got a hold of Gannon today. He's going to try to pop on next week for at least 5 or 10 minutes. Just, no telling what the time difference will be. I know right now he's 7 hours ahead of us. So I don't know for sure where he'll be next week at this time. But he wants to try to get on for the 100th episode. We need to try to figure out something that we're going to do. And we're also going to have to figure out something new with the numbers, because we're no longer going to need the numbers. So that was pretty much our last time to do the numbers, which has been fun, but it'll be on to something else, and we'll figure that out very soon. Well, let's talk about the Oklahoma Sooners big win over UCF. I say big win because I was scared to death for a little while. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a little concerning for quite a bit of the time in the stands. Kellen, I'm assuming you watched it as well. And then Garrett, you were a couple seats down from me. What were your all thoughts? What do you think?
Just from the beginning, the energy in the stadium just wasn't the same as it has been all season. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because we had a whole extra week to simmer down, not only from the Texas game, but just from a game in general. I think we also expected it wasn't a game a whole lot of people were excited about, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, UCF coming in at 3-3, and if I'm not mistaken, not very many wins in the conference either. I'd have to double check, but not zero. A great team. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I want to say they were zero, but not a great team overall. So I think we were just expecting another, you know, pretty hefty blowout that people are going to be leaving midway through the third. And then next thing you know, 2 minutes left in the game, we're sitting there on the edge of our seats waiting to see what happens. But energy just wasn't there, which for it wasn't there for me either. I mean, I was, you know, participating in that. But other than that, got the win. I mean, Venable said it plenty of times. We had a lot of miscues in that game, obviously, that they're going to have to harp on and fix. And more so just discipline. Not necessarily that guys didn't know where to go. They just got a little too, I think, antsy on making a play.
For sure. Tell them, what'd you see?
I mean, I was never really concerned about it. I was just annoyed that it was closer than it should be. But it, like our offense didn't do great. But I mean, missing two field goals, we had like destroys a little bit of momentum we had. The yards we were gaining just made it all pointless. So that kind of messed up momentum. We got that, like at the, we gave up some big plays, but we get them down to the one and we stop them. And then Kanick gets that, personal foul.
Yeah, it's personal foul.
And it was just like, so then they end up scoring, and it's like that. Our momentum there would have been crazy, just being able to get that stop there. So that I really think that's when the momentum shifted towards them, of just to keep them in the game. I think we were still ahead on momentum the whole time until that play, because of just some poor decisions. And we just, our offense just never seemed to do anything wild. Like, we weren't really, like Gary said, there wasn't a lot of energy. I think sometimes you fall into the trap. You just come in there expecting to win a game and like forgetting to respect the, not that we were being disrespectful, but you got to be like, this is still a college football team. Sure. They're out here trying to win. And it just looked like we came in there expecting to win. Oh, we just beat number 3 Texas, so we're going to beat everybody until we play Texas again. But we still got to go in there with some energy, start off strong. But we won the game in the end, did what needed to be done. Still let them almost come back at the end, but we got the 2-point conversion stop. I knew we were fine at that point. I knew there was no way they scored and put a 2-point conversion on us. There was no shot. And if they did,
onside kick was a little sketchy too.
That onside kick was scary.
The onside kick was a little sketchy.
Oh no, it was
too.
A beautiful onside kick. It was one of the better onside kicks I've seen. But even then, I was like, there's no way they do anything with it. I was fine. I was just annoyed.
I mean, that kicker probably would have hit it from 60 yards. Like
that was a good kicker there. Yeah, he could have definitely 55, but I mean,
The nerves would have got him.
I don't know.
Biggest kick
in
his little career.
I didn't want to find out that way.
For me, like, you remember Cameron Dicker, like Dicker the kicker? That guy's last name was like Boomer or something, or Boone.
Booner. Booner.
Was that what it was, Booner?
I'm pretty sure, so, because the announcer was making a big deal about it, and I was like,
"Let me see." It was it was Boomer. So
it was Boomer.
I thought I saw a photo of it say Boomer.
Just the name. You could see that plastered everywhere, like Boomer beats the Sooners or something stupid. But like going back to the goal line, saying like that was 7 plays in a row that we had stopped a team on the 1 yard line, and that is impressive. Granted, I think they probably would have gone for it on 4th down. Who knows what would happen that next play, but I would have hope that we would have stopped him there as well. But
Kanick's got to be smarter.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what his insight is, because they do a podcast as well.
Yeah.
Him and
Dustin. No, I agree.
I'm excited to see what his insight is, and if Venables chewed into him or if he didn't even really have to, because maybe just gave him a look.
No,
you know,
I guarantee
Mayfield took him out.
I guarantee he got lit up. I guarantee he got lit up.
I haven't seen anything about it, but
they're going to keep a lot of that stuff in house. But he may say something about it, but I'm guaranteeing he got lit
and
up.
Probably in
he
that
immediately
moment,
got taken out.
Have time to do it right there,
yeah,
because they had to go move on and
100%.
True, but going first back to offensively, I think we did fine. Like, again, these games like this, they've shown that whenever we have to score, they will march down the field and do it. Did it a little bit late. I think they were going to score whenever that ball jumped right off of Stoops' chest and they picked it off. I mean, we were driving right there because we had gotten ourselves pinned back in the within the 20, and we were kind of just marching right along and then right off Stoops' chest. I think it's safe to say that
a lot of drops lately.
He has. He really has. I think it's safe to say Major's probably our third string and should be. I think Tawi's our best running back, and we definitely missed him that Saturday.
Sawchuk didn't look bad though.
Sawchuk looked pretty good. He did.
In the second, like once he started getting rolling,
fourth
quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting too. Somebody asked Venables about that pretty much specifically. Like, is he one of those guys like you got to get going? Like, you got to get him touches to start get going. And Venables said, he's like, well, I mean, you guys saw him against Florida State and he didn't need touches. He was at the whole year and he came in and lit him up.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't know if he's a guy that's going to need, if he's that guy, like referring to the Florida State running back or not.
True.
So he's obviously still, I think, hesitant on, you know, the running back position, but I think Tawi's should be the guy from now on. But like you said, I mean, Sawchuk, he did look really good in the second half. Maybe he really did just need some more playing time. Who knows? But
I don't know. Perhaps. I know. I thought that it was a very, the crowd was just, it was odd, you know, and at first I was thinking, okay, I'm glad we had a week in between the Texas game, so we're not, you know, hung over from that and just having a great time. But I mean, obviously that lingered on for 2 weeks, and our we didn't look very crisp. We were very made some, I thought, mental mistakes, things of that nature. But the crowd was just kind of ho-hum as well, and I thought we were going to go in there and beat them pretty good as well. So I mean, I think a lot of people thought that, and everybody kind of got shocked how close it was. And then I just kept expecting to see OU pull away, and they never did. Now we finally went up by 8, in the fourth quarter, but then they came right down and then got that fourth down conversion for the touchdown and all that. But the thing is, like, if we do not miss the two field goals, we're not even put in that position. And I hate to say it, but I just our kicking game stinks. From that aspect, the new punter, you said you thought he did a lot much better job, correct?
Oh yeah, he averaged just over 50 yards a punt. Like, but like college that, and NFL even, like that's a good game, especially for how many times he punted.
I don't know which punter it was though. They were like saying he was our short field punter because we put him in a little closer and he kicked it 40 yards, and I was like,
that's our guy now, essentially. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. The guy last week was kicking our long field one, kicking it from the end zone, kicking it 20 to 30 yards. Like,
yeah,
doesn't even make sense. How is that?
Much better.
This one much guy. Better.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, go back to what you were saying, that UCF, like, just kind of marched down the field to almost tie it up. Like, we had a drop pick by Bowman. Right. Bowman. And then a 3rd and 15 that they converted, that Bowman also just, I think he just got a little antsy again, got out of position, and they got wide open. So there, I mean, that's two plays right there that would have just completely sealed the game, essentially. But
we see, for whatever reason, our defense, and they've always done this in the Stoops era. Even though it's not Stoops anymore, but since Stoops was there, you know, it's more of like we talked about on the way home the other day. It's a bend but don't break defense. But the thing is, they give up big plays all the time. Like, and when I say big plays, it's like 50 or 60 yard plays. And happened again when the quarterback was rolling out and did that little. Who was it? Was it Bowen? Who was that on him? That was on him. Or Woody Washington? Who was that on him?
Oh, are you talking about the 90 something yard almost?
Yeah,
that was Woody.
So he starts, you know, rolling out and running, and Woody starts going after him, and he just throws it over the top, and the guy runs all the way. You know, we're just like, you got to be kidding me. It felt like he was running forever. He blows the kisses to the Sooner bench and all that. But those kind of plays right there. And then they had another one, one of the running backs. I don't know how long of a run that was.
54.
Is that what it was, 54 yards?
Yeah.
And in the end of the game, they averaged under 4 yards per carry. So take away that run, and we held them in check. But it's always these big plays that continue to hurt our defense. And I think, honestly, I mean, I've always thought this. I mean, we over pursue a lot. We're very proactive in trying to get after the quarterback or get after the whoever's got the ball, and that leaves usually the other side, the weak side or whatever, open. And I've seen, like, K-State did it to us several years ago in the Big 12 championship game in the early 2000s. They kept doing this counter run with, what was that kid's name? Darren Sproles ran all over us that game. Happens all the time, unfortunately. Hopefully we'll be able to get some of that stuff fixed, because, I mean, Iowa State did it to us, and I think SMU did it a little bit to us as well. So, but bottom line is, you win the game. That's the goal. I don't care if it's by 1 point. I don't care if it's by 50 points. Don't lie. I'd like to see the 50 points, but it was nerve-wracking to say the least.
If you take away the 54-yarder and a 20-yard receiver run, which so far this year we've done really good at covering, if you take away those two, which I know you can't, but they happen.
No, I know.
They averaged 1.9 yards a carry.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's over 39 carries. So
sure.
Very impressive. And like you already said, like, even with those, it was 3.6, and that's still, I'd take that. Yeah. Holding a team like that, who's usually averaging over 200 yards a game, like top 15 in the country rushing wise, if not higher, like, I'll take that all day of the week. It's just those chunk plays are the ones you remember.
Exactly right. I can't stand, like I said, I'm so the kicking game has got to get better. We've all talked about it before. We don't know how clutch this kid is, and I personally don't think he's clutch, Zach Schmidt. What I'm afraid of is this getting into one of these big games down the line where because don't get me wrong, we needed him to make those kicks, but I'm talking about like he makes this and we win, or he misses, we lose type of kicks, or, you know, and that's what I'm afraid of. Is I think he's thinking too much right now, and I think we're going to be in trouble at some point. That's what's unfortunate.
Could have been the next Maher.
Yeah, no kidding. But I what's funny is I took notes during the game. In the first quarter, I have down, missed field goal, but then I also put down Trace Ford one play after making a big hit. He lines up offsides, and he does it all the time.
Did the same exact thing against Texas.
Yeah,
same exact thing. For being a 6'3", you'd think he'd be a little bit more, not necessarily mature. That's not the right word, but I guess just
more aware. I mean,
aware, like, of the situation. Like, I get you're excited and you want to do another one, but come on, dude, you see where that ball spotted? Like,
right.
And then whenever
go ahead, and
it wasn't even that he jumped it. I think Kellen might have had a better perspective on this. I think he just lined up offsides.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He did. Yeah. And then that touchdown Nick Anderson had, the first one, it was kind of like, honestly, right in front of us, but he catches it, and like, he looks like he thinks he's getting ready to get hit, and he realizes, you know, he doesn't do this, but very quickly, oh, I'm not, and he runs in. So he had, once again, a great game. Let's see what it shows him. 5 catches, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So he's, how many did you say he's got for the year, 8 or 9?
He's got got a record of 17, which is D.D. Westbrook. So, which, I'll be honest, I don't remember him getting that many in a single year. I guess that's whenever he was like 5th or 6th in the Heisman race.
Yeah.
But, he could get it, but he'd have to have quite a few more two touchdown games.
Sure. 100%. 100%. And
right now. Like, say that again.
I said he very well could now. He's our go-to.
I mean, yeah, I would say on the deep ball for sure. Like, that used to be, it was Anthony. He's out for the year. Stoops is our short possession guy. And then Farouk's more of our just. Yeah. Farouk can do a little bit of everything, I will say. He didn't get a lot of touches last week or this past week, but he's probably our most talented receiver, I'd say.
For sure. I think, and I think losing Anthony hurt a lot more than we honestly maybe even think right now. And hopefully he'll be able to come back next year, but hopefully some of these other guys will be able to step up in his absence for sure. I know when we missed that field goal, it was right before the end of the first quarter. And in between the first and second quarter, a guy goes out there and kicks a field goal for free Chick-fil-A. And I'm thinking, hey, man, that's the guy who we need to get. Maybe we can suit him up real quick and have him be our kicker, because we needed him big time. But I know we talked about the big goal line stand. We already talked about it. How do you have that kind of a penalty? I noticed this several other times, though, like Kanick and Stutzman and a couple other guys kind of celebrating some stops. And I'm like, guys, just – I'm afraid that something like that at some point is going to get us a flag the way they act. Because, I mean, I think I saw Kanick doing like a little guitar or something like that at one point, you know.
They did one where they acted like they were like shotgunning.
Is that what it was?
Point two. Yeah. Well, that – I just – both, but they
I love the excitement, but, man, you got to relax. I'm afraid one of those things is going to hit us and hurt us at some point.
I feel like it's at a certain point, like, I don't know what the line is. Like, obviously, what Canning did, like, getting up in the guy's face, but at what point, whenever you're just doing it with your teammate, you know, is it a flag? Because
I don't know.
You go to the penalty they called on the big, long touchdown for their celebration. That wasn't even that crazy of a celebration. So, I don't know what you're talking about. UCF's.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, they were just, I don't know what they were doing, but, like,
I feel like the pointing at everybody on waving on this, like, just kind of put a bad taste in the mouth, and then they just went ahead and called everything.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe, and but... I think there were some guys that came off the bench and were doing that as well, like over there. I think from what I saw, but they should have called a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, which would have negated the touchdown. But they obviously didn't do that. Which I mean is what it is. I mean, I guess it's a rule, but I mean, whatever. I would hate to see something like that happen for us at some point, but it'd be great if it was them. But yeah, I know you felt like Gabriel was pretty good the other day, and I felt a little bit differently. But then, you know, after thinking about it a couple of days, go ahead and tell them what you thought, though, I guess.
Well, I mean, he's still making 65% passing, which is well above average, 250 yards and 3 touchdowns. And a pick that was not his fault. Still on the stat sheet, but not his fault. Like, if he plays like that every game, we're most likely going to win. It's more of just that rushing attack wasn't so hot. But,
yeah.
And that turnover killed us. But, no, he out of the Heisman race guys, the top five guys, he played the second best.
Okay.
So, you saw Penix fall off. You saw Caleb fall off. And then
the Michigan guy Rose probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's the favorite now, which, yeah. You know, if
anything could happen.
Yeah, his stats are the worst out of everybody on there.
On average, like throughout all the stats, he's like the only one in the top five of all the statistical categories. But maybe, like if you go like passing yards,
touchdowns.
Yeah, so. But again, he's still got to play Penn State and Ohio State. So, I mean, if he gets through those games still unscathed, you know, power to him.
If he gets through those games unscathed, I think he's going to, I mean, unless he like has 3 or 4 interceptions or whatever, you know what I mean? But I mean, I think he would, to me, probably be the favorite. But that's still a little ways to go. Kelvin, what did you think about Dylan Gabriel the other day? Were you good with it?
I mean, he didn't play bad, but there was just nothing with our offense. Just wasn't moving. I like between the missed field goals and the offense not moving, I think that's the only reason we allowed that many points, because the defense was just out there all the time. Like, it's just like I said against Texas, the more we keep our defense off the field, the better they're going to play. And that we didn't do that, but
yeah,
I didn't feel like he played bad. Just, yeah. I feel like we were just being like safe/just. We just thought it was just all going to work itself out.
I will say real quick, like there was plenty of players that 2 weeks ago he would have taken off running for 15, 20 yards. And this week he just didn't want to. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, it was wide open and he would just try and make a play. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't. But we're so much more lethal, which we saw, like, whenever he's using his legs.
No, I agree 100%. That's where, obviously, we're in the stands and we can see a lot. And he's having to go through his progression. So my frustration was, there was a couple of different times where I saw wide open guys right in the middle that he could have got through, or he could have ran the football down the field. Didn't do it. But, and again, that interception was not his fault. I guess from listening to a lot of different folks, I mean, they have some really decent, UCF has some really decent, what do you call it? Secondary guys in the back, defensive backs, basically what I'm trying to say. And that obviously had something to do with a lot of it because they were with our guys the whole time. And that's, I mean, you saw, I mean, even the interception, I mean, those guys were right there. And there's one interception they had, down towards the goal line. And I guess they called pass interference. Is that what they did? So
right. I mean, right before half.
Yeah. They got some good folks obviously. And we were trying to run the football to open up the pass. You could tell, but it was just frustrating. And that's where, I mean, you see the offense, fourth quarter wearing them down a little bit, going very quick. And that's where Sawchuk got a lot of his yards on those last couple different, possessions that we had. So, but yeah, overall, I mean, Gabriel still had a pretty good game, for sure. And I agree with the 100% Marcus Major. There was a guy behind us that kept yelling about don't give it to 24. But we just don't have that dominant guy on the running the ball. We don't have a dominant line.
Yeah, but even then, Marcus Major's what averaged how many four something? Let me see what it was.
Yeah, 4.6.
Yeah, like that's not bad.
It's not. It's just
like you hand it to him three times, it's a first down.
It's just you're right. It's just frustrating because I mean we're expecting. That's the thing is as fans, some of the OU fans they want to blow people out, and I don't get me wrong, I do too, but. Every team, every championship team has at least two of these games a year, at least two of the games a year where it's tough and you battle. This is a game we talked about as well. Like we would have lost last year. We probably would have lost two years ago, 3 years ago, this kind of game. Not this time. Shows you the hunger these guys have inside. And they did it.
I mean, almost every single team up there with us in the rankings struggle like every week. I turn them on and it's like they're Michigan's down, Ohio's State's down, everybody. Georgia's down, Alabama's down.
Yeah, let's just hope we don't have
Washington. Washington barely won, and that's because their defense bailed them out. So,
you know, and I saw online a few days ago, it was one of these local radio stations said, you know, what are the remaining games? They lined them up. You know, worries you the most of all the OU games, and I put down all of them. I mean, they all worry me because I'm not going to sit there and go into it thinking we're going to drill them. And that was before this game. And even I still thought we were going to win. You're looking at, we play KU this upcoming week at 11 o'clock. They're not bad. They're not the KU of years ago. 2 weeks from now, we got Oklahoma State. They're starting to roll right now.
They're rolling.
You know what I mean?
So their running back had, I think, 250 yards rushing.
Yeah, it's incredible, dude.
Whoever they just played.
West Virginia. Yeah, West Virginia. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like you can't look ahead. You gotta, and I was listening to Venable's press conference, and he goes, you know, I look at it like each game's its own season because we can't get too far ahead of us. Each game's its own season. We just won this game, so now we gotta go into the next game. I mean, and it's, you know, that's coach talk. I get it. That's what you're trying to do, but he's exactly right. I mean, it's its own season in itself, each game.
I know Jalen Daniels, their head coach, said today that he's most likely doubtful and not going to be playing this week. So that is a good sign, but you can't look past Jason Bean because he's honestly played pretty good.
He's got the most part.
Yeah, and he's played pretty good. They got a pretty good rushing attack as well. So, I think, you know, they do have their threats, and I think their biggest threat is that the quarterback can run a little bit, which we haven't seen in 3 or 4 weeks, and that's
what usually gives us trouble. Always quarterback,
but he's not as mobile as Jalen Daniels, which is again a huge plus because Jalen Daniels is, I mean, he was one of the Heisman, he was a Heisman dark horse coming into the year, so.
Well, I think we got to do the exact same thing we did against Texas. We got to start out quick, start out early, start just hammering them, and then get that defense after the quarterback. And I like our chances. I mean, I do. I think we're better. I think we've got better athletes and all, and better coaching staff and everything. The thing that always worries me is just those daggum turnovers. I mean, you don't expect them to happen. And like we talked about a couple days ago on the way home, like there's been several times this year where we've had those tip balls and they've gone, you know, our way and they've hit the ground. Well, that, not that one, that guy get, they get, you know, UCF gets it and he runs it back into our territory. And I think they went on and in and scored, if I'm not mistaken.
I was also telling Dad that we're so used to the Baker Mayfields, Kyler Murray's, Jalen Hurts, like where you expect a Heisman performance every single game.
I
like, we don't have Dylan Gabriel on that level yet. And so we're just waiting for him to have a bad game that just shoots us in the foot. And so far, he hasn't done it. And
like, that's what I was waiting for too, until that Texas game. Then I thought, okay, he's not on their level, but he's going to win games.
But he might be. Like, we, again, his stats, like, up to this point say no, but win-wise say yes. And, I mean, I don't know. Like, he could go the whole year without having a bad game.
It's possible. You know? But that's why we've got to have a rushing. We got to have a running attack in order to take that pressure off of him. If our running backs, if we had running backs that were, you know, a main bell cow or even the two guys, I mean, whether it's Sawchuk or whether it's, you know, Tywee Walker or whatever, whoever. But to your point a minute ago, Gabriel's got to take advantage of some of those opportunities and run the football as well. I'm telling you, I mean, our coaching staff knows this, but I mean, they get him more involved and we get that running game going, that's going to make the passing game so much easier. So much easier. And I don't know enough about KU to tell you how good their defense is. I don't know. I don't think they're probably one of the top ones in the country. I don't think they're going to be, you know, but the ball bounces funny ways. And if there's, you know, turnovers and interception, I mean, interception is a turnover, but I mean, block punts, all that kind of crazy stuff can happen. It's bad to have a turnover. It's really bad to have a turnover in your own, in your own area, in your own part of the field. You know, that's even worse. So you want to try to make, clean that kind of stuff up, clean up the stupid penalties. And like I said, I like our chances.
Venables is always preaching that whoever wins the rushing battle and the turnover battle wins like 95% of the games. And at halftime and late into the third, they beat us in the turnover battle in the end of the game. And again, until that end of the third-ish area, they were dominating us on the rushing battle. So they were beating us in both those categories. And that's where I think he said, you know what, like, if we're going to win this game, we got to beat them at something, and a turnover is not happening. So let's go get some rushing yards.
But what was the play of the game? You remember?
I know what yours is. Mine is when we had them jump off sides, this is the drive we went down and scored and took the lead. The like 20 something to 20, like the whenever we took the lead by one, 24-23, I think. And they jump off sides, and Gabriel puts a perfect ball to Nick Anderson for about 20 yards. If he leads him, that ball's probably getting picked, which who cares, get 5 yards. But he pulls him back to the edge of the sideline, so he's got to make a sideline catch. But it saved it from getting a pick and from a defender coming in and jarring it out. I think that was the play of the game, just kind of kickstarting and getting us way deep in their territory to kind of just take over the game.
Kellen, did you have a specific play that you thought of? I'll tell you what mine is.
I mean, I got super excited on that Nick Anderson touchdown on the left when he's just wide open out there. It's just a nice ball. There was no questions asked. It was about to be a touchdown. I enjoy, because that's the kind of plays we give up sometimes. So it's nice when we're the one out here throwing it.
My play of the game, I thought, turning point of it was when I looked at Garrett and I'm like, have you seen Peyton Bowen? Has he even played? And he was like, I don't think so. And then I guess he was in on that next play or that play, and Garrett's watching him the whole time. And that's where he came, like the quarterback. My eyes were on the quarterback, and I see the quarterback go, and he just gets hammered like a Raggedy Ann doll. I mean, just, you know, I'm surprised he didn't fumble. But I think that made it fourth down, if I'm not mistaken. It was third.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah.
And I thought that was a huge play.
Oh, yeah, because if they get any yards, they're most likely going for it. But, yeah, pushing him back. And like you said, you mentioned him, and then when I saw him, I was just like, oh, I'm just going to – I'll just watch him this play because he lined up on the edge, which you don't – like he said, that was the first time he's done that all year. And so I was like, okay, something's about to happen. And I told you this, he's already a player that the second he steps on the field, he's the best athlete on that field. Yeah. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
And that they stood no chance. Like, he just kind of snuck behind. And Peyton said this post game, like, either that tackle was going to take him or he was going to take, I think it was Trace that was right next to him. Yeah. One of them was going to get there. So it just happened to be Peyton who got there a lot quicker and is a little
bit
faster.
He got there quick.
Yeah.
I mean, quick.
The announcers are even saying, like, if they throw an incompletion here, it's probably fourth down territory. And then we get that big sack. And they're like, yep, punting it now. There's no shot.
That was a crazy, because I was all cheering. And then I looked up and I see 22, right? 22 is his number. And I looked down there and Garrett's just going, cheering, pointing at me. Because, I mean, we just called it. I mean, I didn't call that he was going to be there. But I hadn't seen him or heard from him all day long. And he had a really good game. So, right there. So, I mean, it's just fantastic to see. I love it. I love this team. And I think, it's amazing where we're at right now and where USC is right now. USC is us from a couple of years ago. And I think it's hilarious. I love it. I'm taking all these pictures of Caleb Williams whenever he's all, about to cry on national TV.
They're worse than what we were a couple years ago.
They're pretty bad, man. And
I mean,
sad.
They have one player, so.
Yeah. Yeah. If you notice, Lincoln Riley didn't talk to you. I don't ever see him talk to, not that I watch him all the time, but whenever I'm watching their games, I don't see him talk to anybody but Caleb as far as players are concerned. And from what I'm hearing, he's already wearing his welcome out at USC. Like, he's, cut off the media. The media is on to him now. I mean, Colin Coward's the guy who was kissing him on the lips when he first came over there. And now he's like roasting him as well. But I'm telling you, I still think he will be in the NFL next year. I do not think he will coach in the Big Ten. I don't think he will, but we'll see. But I don't care either though. So I just think it'd be funny if he did decide to leave, that'd be the greatest. But yeah, whenever OU stopped that 2-point conversion, I said, "Hey, Garrett, let's at least let's go down here, really quick." So we were closer to the awning to get out of there, and that's when that
onside kick,
and you see it bounce off one of our guys. I'm like, "Oh no!" And as soon as I saw the ref go, I was like, "Okay, we're good. Let's
go."
But oh my goodness, that was scary.
I said, as we were walking out, I do not understand why these guys don't understand you can go get the ball. You don't have to wait for the ball to get to you, because that's whenever it gets the most confusion, because then the players are all like, oh, it's going to his direction, so he's got it. And then the other player's like, well, he's, it's angled or coming past him, so maybe he'll grab it. Like,
you want to get it before it changes directions.
Exactly. Exactly. They're putting as much spin on that thing as they can to get that as wobbly as they can go.
If that's the reason why we got Austin Stogner back, then amen, I'm happy, because he's the guy who recovered the football. So I'm so happy that he was there. So it was pretty cool. What about some Oklahoma and KU predictions? It's at 11 a.m. It's in Kansas, in Lawrence, Kansas. It looks like OU is favored by 10 currently. Of course, that line could go up or down. Any thoughts on that game?
It's a little bit lower of a line than I'd expect, but I'll go Oklahoma 38, Kansas. I'll go 24. I think it's going to be kind of the same. It's not going to be as late of a separation from us, but I think it's still going to, like, come halftime, we're going to be like, oh, come on, like another one of these. But
hopefully,
I think Dillon's still going to play a great game, keep himself from that Heisman contention, which, to him, he doesn't care about that, obviously, but be pretty nice as an Oklahoma fan to get another one. But
it'd be nice. Just even being there, I think, would be show that we did it without Riley. You know what I mean?
Well, it wasn't him. It's the It's the program, the program. University. And,
yeah, the program's bigger than anybody. So,
and it's just, even with, again, without him, like, we have a standard at quarterback that we expect.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. Like, we still, and I think that's partly, again, why you feel like that game wasn't great for him. Like, if we were, you know, a team who hadn't had a Heisman winning quarterback in the last 20 years, we're probably saying that's a great performance against a team like that. But
100%. 100%. Kellen, what do you get prediction wise?
41-20.
Okay. I'm going to say 33-23. OU wins by 10. That's my prediction. If we can kick our field goals, we'll be okay. If we miss some field goals, I'm going to be a little bit concerned, but I'm hoping at some point there's got to be somebody on the team that can hit those field goals. There's got to be.
Also, let us know in the comments what you guys think about the prediction of the game. You know, we want this to be interactive. Give us a comment. Maybe we'll read it next week if it's, you know, family friendly. But
yeah, it's going to be family friendly. We got a lot of good comments, a lot of good emails. And again, I know next week's our 100th episode, so that'll be pretty cool. We are on YouTube TV, or YouTube, not, I mean, not channel, YouTube, not YouTube TV, TV
yeah.
but you,
yeah, we're not the Pat McAfee show, TV, yeah.
But yeah, but we're on YouTube, and take a look, check us out, check out my gorgeous man cave. What's amazing, Kellen, you've seen this since I've done it, haven't you? I've redone it. What's amazing is, like, all of this was in a, I mean, I had, we had, we, I've got more stuff, right? But it was in such a bigger basement when we were in Nixon, Missouri.
Chicken.
Well, I mean, it was awesome. You know what I mean? And now it's like, I got everything all crammed in here. Now, don't get me wrong, it's nice. I like it. But dadgum, it gets hot up here. I mean, it gets hot. I mean, I know you guys are freezing to death. We're in the, sometimes in that basement sometimes, weren't you? A little cold. Too bad.
I think got chilly.
A little chilly. But yeah, next week's 100 episode. We'll look forward to that. Luckily, Dallas Cowboys had a weekend off, so didn't have to worry about if they won or lost. We'll go from there. Garrett, remind Kellen who one of my new best friends are after the game. I was waving to him at the end of the game. Remember?
Blanking on his name for some reason.
Jim Traber, man.
Traber, yeah.
Traber. I waved to Traber. He waved back, and hey, man, we know each other. And then you guys make sure you wear these shirts sometimes. I don't know if anybody's ever seen these shirts. The Fox Donut Den we got when we were in Franklin, Tennessee this past early summer. I think it was like sometime in May whenever Dylan got married. So,
hey, you know, and let us know if you guys want some Fox Den merch. We might, you know,
little swag.
Look into that. Might look into it.
Yeah, but yeah, keep it up. Great job. We'll have to figure something out. Give us some comments on what you think you would like to hear us talk about at the beginning of the podcast. Cause we're, you know, honestly, the numbers are gone now. I mean, there's no 100, no 100. So hopefully Gannon will be able to be on there for at least 5 minutes next week. That'll be interesting. Poor kid's 7 hours ahead of us right now. I don't know where he'll be next week at this time, but for Kellen and Garrett, I am Todd Fox. For the Fox and Sports Podcast, we really appreciate everyone listening to us. We know you've got a lot going on. But I always want to remind you that iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
And remember to join the skulk. And until next time, goodbye,
everybody.
Bye. Boomer.
See you later.
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with two X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.